Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. A decision on possible charges expected at any moment from a New Mexico DA in the fatal shooting of Helena Hutchins on Alec Baldwin's movie set back in 2021. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Baldwin was holding the prop gun when it discharged around, killing Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza.
I think it's really unlikely that Alec Baldwin will be charged.
Trial attorney Rachel Fizet tells CBS Mornings she believes it's those in charge of safety on the set that are in the most legal jeopardy, including the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed.
What the investigators and the prosecutors have been evaluating is who knew the risks on the set that relate to serious injury or death.
The Treasury Department says today's the day the government has reached its legal borrowing capacity. It sets up a showdown between the White House and House Republicans over raising that limit. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says a cascade of events could take place as the U.S. moves closer to default.
We could see furloughing of government employees. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. We're also talking about things like delaying Social Security checks. Maybe you won't get your tax refund on time.
There's concern in and around Farmington, Missouri, after five men held on felony charges, including assault and rape, escaped from the county jail.
Being this close to the correction facility, we didn't really expect that, and to find out there was five instead of maybe just one. So that was a bit of a shock.
Those men were seen on surveillance footage stealing a car to make their getaway. CBS's Jim Crisula says a new poll takes the temperature on a key everyday issue.
Fewer than half of Americans view the quality of U.S. health care as excellent or good. That's according to a new Gallup poll. 21% of people see health care as poor. 10 years ago, more than 60% of Americans viewed health care favorably.
Overseas now, Ukraine has renewed its call for allies to send more tanks to help fight the Russians. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Ukraine.
Ukrainian forces are bracing themselves for the coldest weeks of winter.
It's very warm in here.
Underground, a wood fire keeps the men from freezing. There are warm beds, hot food and drinks. It's not so hard. You can get used to any harsh conditions, Major Chekhan told us. What you don't get used to, he said, are the deaths of civilians.
The UN estimates more than 7,000 civilians have died in the 11 months since Russia invaded Ukraine. Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 245 points. The NASDAQ is down 132. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The embattled vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he has no plans to step down. Bob Spindell tells Channel 27 in Madison there's nothing wrong with praising Republican efforts in Milwaukee, which led to a drop in turnout among Black and Hispanic voters. The commission oversees elections in Wisconsin. Spindell was also one of the fake Trump electors. Democratic state senators yesterday called for Spindell to resign or be removed from the commission. Changes are coming to Culver's. The Wisconsin-based burger chain is trading Pepsi for Coke. A Culver's spokesperson says it will take some time to make the switch. There are 800 Culver's in 26 states. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are staying put. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Save my soul. Let the music. Oh.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Have free ad space that we want to give to small businesses across Wisconsin. Save the application date on Thursday, January 26th only. And you can find it on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's a friendly competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. So for this giveaway, be sure to tell them that you heard it from As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinair and Kristen Bry.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, Waukesha. Good morning, Jane Matinair.
Good morning, Kristen Bry. How goes it?
Goes well. It's Thursday.
It is.
We're not getting hit with snow. It's too warm down here.
It's much too warm. Yeah.
Has it started anywhere else?
When I was going home yesterday, it started just a little flaking, but nothing serious. But I think, yeah, to our north, they got some stuff.
Which is great. I'm kind of jealous of that.
Well,
I wish we had a little bit more snow, if I'm being totally honest, because it's so gray and gloomy and not green.
Well, yeah. And the problem with January, I mean, at least in January, when it's really, really cold, it tends to be sunny.
Yes.
And this, because I'm pretty sure statistically, November is supposed to be the cloudiest month. But this,
oh, is it?
Yeah. But this January has just been so dull. And I don't know. I don't want it to be 30 below, but it sure would be nice to see the sunshine. And just think about all the snowplow drivers and all the people who, you know, count on snow for their jobs. It's tough.
So what do they do? Because they all get paid hourly? And so it's basically their entire job is dependent on whether or not it snows?
But I mean, if you have a landscaping company, that's probably what you do in the winter is snow removal. Well, you can't do other things for landscaping.
Well, I mean, it's warm enough right now that I'm sure there's some people in Wisconsin who are like, well, I might as well go get some gardening done.
Well, yeah, don't do that.
Some of those thick-skinned,
yeah.
This isn't even cold yet. I don't even need a jacket.
Yeah, it's not, but I wouldn't plant anything just
yet.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because we're going to get it anyway.
All right, well, coming up this hour, a lot of headlines. A lot of things happening this week, and we're going to go through some of them this morning. But I think the thing that we should probably start on is, I think nationally, the biggest news. Is this big news? Because nothing for now is going to happen. It's kind of setting the stage for potential catastrophe, apparently. But at least right now, there's maneuvers to avoid anything terrible right now. But Congress is gearing up for the debt ceiling standoff.
They love this.
Yeah. So we'll get into trying to explain it as far as I even understand it, because this also just feels like something the public, like, I feel like this is an issue that is poorly understood by the public, because it's often portrayed as the vote to spend more money. So like what we do with the budget and what we're spending the money on, and especially because that is what the bargaining chip that the House is debating about, right, is how much we're spending. But really, this is simply about paying bills that the U.S. has already legally accrued, right?
Yes. I mean, this stuff has been paid. I mean, it's been paid out.
Yes.
Now we have to agree that we're going to pay what we said we would pay out.
Yes. And so it's just unique in the fact that Congress regularly votes to raise spending or cut taxes, which adds to the debt, but then also forces itself to vote separately on whether the country should borrow to pay those bills. And so it's like, where how I understand it is like, it's like hitting your credit card max and then negotiating on like raising the max.
Let me borrow more.
So, except, you know, my credit card limit, I don't know about you, Jane, is a little bit less than $31.4 trillion.
Only slightly.
And so it only has so much money that it can spend on bills. And so basically, so what happens now is like, meaning if the U.S. goes past its max to try to pay off its obligations, like Social Security checks and military salaries, it's going to go into default, which, you know, we know about foreclosures and bad credit scores and everything, but
this will have global implications.
Yes. And so it is way worse than just like getting a really bad credit rating, right? It's unprecedented. Because we're going to maybe talk a little bit about what you remember happening in 2011 when we were like hours away from it. I was living in DC at that point.
Oh.
And it was my last semester of college and I was doing an internship program out there. And I remember, and I didn't work in, a lot of the people in my program were interns in different congressional offices. I was at Big Shock, like a women's organization, nonprofit, Women for Women International. But I remember all of them talking about it because they were, some of them were in Republican offices. Some of them were, and we're all like, you know, early 20s, but.
And they wouldn't get paid.
Well, they weren't getting paid. They were interns.
They were interns.
Even actual legislative aides only make like $15,000
a
year. Basically, that's a whole other topic as far as there's an effort right now for legislative, like entry-level legislative aides to try to unionize. And guess who's trying to block that?
Oh,
but like they get paid
nothing.
Not a living wage, for, especially for how much they work. So yeah, interns definitely didn't get paid. They got school credit. So, you know, what this could, if we were to default and, you know, basically start to resemble our unemployed uncle with a gambling problem, it could trigger even higher interest rates on top of what the Fed has already been doing to try to curb inflation, a drop in stocks, a recession. And it's basically just comes down to who's going to give on this negotiating. And so basically where we're at now is Speaker Kevin McCarthy said he's on a mission to end wasteful Washington spending. Democrats in the White House say the debt ceiling must be handled without conditions. And the Treasury, so Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, said she's prepared to, they are prepared to take extraordinary measures, which is a whole thing. It's not like just a hyperbole. And so it is like, that's a definition unto itself of what extraordinary measures means, but taking those to prevent the U.S. from defaulting on payments until at least early June. So basically right now we have until early June, which considering how quickly January is going by, we'll be here before you know it. So it's been, this is something that's been raised dozens of times.
Over and over and over again.
Republican presidents, Democratic presidents. But the debt to GDP ratio has eclipsed 100% for the last 9 years.
Wow.
And it's a number that we've only reached before at the height of World War II.
So under the previous administration, the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah, they had no problem raising it then.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like, I don't really know. Even if there is negotiations that start to happen, what becomes on the table to cut? Social Security?
That was on Paul Ryan's wish list when he was still in there. He's always wanted.
What does that look like, though? If you say, if something you spend your life paying into, and then they just say, sorry.
Well, that's what happens with entitlements. Even though I don't understand why Social Security is considered an entitlement, because all of us, from the time we start working, that money is automatically taken out of our paychecks and goes into Social Security. So I would love for a lawmaker to be able to explain to me what makes that an entitlement.
What's the difference between an entitlement and a promise?
Yeah.
Because I think that's, I don't know. Like, so what do you end up cutting? And I obviously we do not want this to go into default. And I do think that the White House saying no conditions, we're not going to talk about it, is not good politics. I think that the least conversations need to be had, but it also just to hold people hostage. And because this is, I mean, it's kind of like if you're in a relationship and your spouse and you have the conversation around, one of you ran up the bill. One of you ran up the credit card bill. And now I'm going to hold you hostage and ruin both of our credit scores because I am mad about what you spent your money on. Right?
I think that encapsulates it pretty nicely. We have a caller on the line. We got Jack on the phone. Hey, Jack, what do you want to say?
Well, first of all, these guys that are trying to hold up payment of the debt are some of the same people that voted in Congress previously to spend that money.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are real. They're just total hypocrites. The whole thing about this is that they're folding to the extremist elements of the Republican Party. And those extreme elements want to take away or at least cut severely our prepaid medical insurance for retirement and our prepaid pension for retirement. That's called Medicare and Social Security. And they've been about this. They've been working on this for at least since Reagan in the 1980s and possibly earlier. I think a lot of Republicans voted against Medicare when it came up. So that's what this is all about, really. And they figure that they can hold the whole country hostage. And they don't care. This is a wrecking ball crew. They don't care who it hurts. It won't hurt their billionaire owner. I mean, donors, of course. But it will definitely hurt the entire American economy. And that's really what this is about, too.
Well, and don't you think, isn't there a certain amount of people who, especially older people, who receive Social Security, who vote for Republicans? And so isn't this kind of against their own interest as far as, isn't there other things that they could be trying to negotiate and cutting besides something that feels like it's a bad political move for their next election?
How about cutting their own salaries for a change?
It was an idea. I would argue even that they could start by cutting some of the defense budget. We spend more on so-called defense against, I forget who's attacking us now that we're defending against, but we spend more on so-called defense than the next 10 countries combined. And China is one of those 10 countries. We spend about three times what China spends on their military. That would be the first place. And in fact, the last military budget got something like $45 billion that the Pentagon didn't even ask for.
I know. Jack, we got to let you go because we got to go to our first break. But thank you so much for the call. We're going to keep talking about this. So join the conversation, 844-967-2789. What should we cut if we were going to actually cut something? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 37 this afternoon under cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow showers, lows level off around 26. High temperatures reach up to 30. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we're talking about the debt ceiling, which is super interesting, right?
But it is. And it's really important.
It's super important. And I think it's also, you know, the difference between how the debt ceiling crisis is different than a federal government shutdown, because those two things are different. Because I feel like there's these cyclical nature of, or like these things that happen almost seemingly once a year of, oh, we're doing this again. Because these two things are often confused. And a government shutdown happens when Congress doesn't pass a federal funding bill, while a debt ceiling crisis, which is where we're heading towards, occurs if lawmakers don't approve legislation to lift the debt limit. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you?
No, because I would think then the government after that point still cannot function, so things will have to shut down.
Well, I think one has to, do is like what we're going to spend it on and a decision of what we're spending things on. And then what does it do? Like we have to pay the bill we spent.
Yes, the money has already been spent. In this instance of the debt ceiling.
And I just, you know, it comes back to like, who wins politically if this gets to the point where there's no decision made come June? Because obviously all these people are, to a certain extent, doing a political calculus of how this plays out on top of what they think good government is. You know what's interesting in all of this? I feel like Mitch McConnell hasn't said much. I've heard in all the articles and reporting, it's so much about Kevin McCarthy and what's going to happen in the House and like the conditions he made to become speaker. Have you heard much about Mitch McConnell's opinion about all this?
No, the turtle's been pretty invisible, actually, which is remarkable. And wasn't Mitch McConnell the one who said the last time this came up that the deficit doesn't matter? So I think someone did, and I'll look it up and see who it was after we do the bottom of the hour news. I think Mitch doesn't want to say anything on the record because it always comes back to haunt him.
Do you feel like right now he's just kind of like fine being in the shadows a little bit and letting the House be the House, letting Trump be Trump
and being
minority leader? And he's like, we're going to just stay out of the fray after seeing some of like, because he is a political mastermind, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
And so I feel like his silence or his lack of being front and center on this means something as far as him being like, I'm not catching the flack for this one.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, it makes me really nervous. Like, what are you doing while you're being so quiet? What's going on in the dark hallways? And apparently now, well, I know he's in the Senate, but at least in the House, now they can smoke again.
I know.
So the smoke-filled hallways are back, thanks to the Republicans.
Which is Because it's not, it was funny, I was listening to something about this, is because the Capitol does not fall under the jurisdiction of D.C. law. Because in D.C., in Washington, D.C., you cannot smoke inside. Like establishments, and I don't know if there's, you know, there's certain places like in Milwaukee, there's Shakers, and here there's nice ash, right? There's certain places that if you have the right ventilation system, if you're grandfathered in, you can, like largely cigar bars, right?
Yeah.
And I'm maybe there are some in D.C., I would imagine there's some, but for the most part, you cannot smoke indoors, like most places now in the U.S.
Yeah.
But the Capitol doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of D.C. city laws. Isn't that interesting?
It is. So,
and so what happens in the Capitol is dictated by what the voting body can vote on. And I saw that the person who led this effort to be able to smoke again in the Capitol is a very, very big cigar smoker.
Oh.
So wants to be able to just you know, smoke his cigars in his chambers.
I thought maybe he was a tobacco farmer.
Are there any tobacco farmers that work in Congress?
I would imagine that a few of them get money. From tobacco farmers.
Tobacco lobbyists.
Just have a feel.
Or maybe are invested in tobacco companies. But
I can't believe that this hasn't gotten more attention.
What, and the smoking thing?
Yes. Yeah, it blows my mind.
What do you think? It'll be interesting to see how many people take advantage of it. And how much we would even hear of people taking advantage of it. Because I would imagine to a certain extent, like, and also, I don't know. That's so funny. Because I think it's not as big of a deal. It's kind of shocking, but it's also whatever. But the thing that still is more interesting to me, considering how recently January 6, 2021 was, is the taking away of metal detectors.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first things that the Republicans did.
No, I know. And so that to me seems like a more of a wow.
Whoa.
Than people can smoke in the Capitol. It's still weird. And it's like hilarious to me that, again, out of all the things you could work on, this is the hill you're going to die on. You're
the
like,
American,
I want to be able to smoke in my office.
The American people wanted this, Kristen. They want our lawmakers, especially our Republican lawmakers, to light up and pollute their lungs and those of their coworkers. It's their right. It's freedom.
I guess. But again, I'd love to find out how many people end up taking... I wonder how many Democrats will end up still smoking in their office. Because you know some of them still smoke.
Of course.
It's a stress reliever, even though it's not. It actually spikes cortisol. But anyways, this is a continuing story that makes headlines today because today was the day that we hit the limit. We're not in crisis mode yet. Basically, we have a couple months, but this story is certainly not over. But we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I have a handful of other headlines, none of which we're going to dive into deeply, but the first one is a little local. Another person forgot you can't bring a loaded gun on an airplane.
Gosh, I hate when I forget that.
Just forget it. All right, stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News special report. New Mexico prosecutors say they will charge actor Alec Baldwin with involuntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting on the set of the Western film Rust back in 2021. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Baldwin and Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the armorer, have been charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter for the shooting that killed the cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The charges will be filed formally before the end of the month, the DA says.
Baldwin described that killing previously as a tragic accident. He sought to clear his name by suing people involved in handling and supplying the loaded gun that was handed to him on set. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
He'll say, I would never pull the gun, but this forensic report indicates that the gun would not have fired if it weren't pulled. again, it's going to be one of the issues that, assuming this actually does go before a jury, that they're going to have to sort out.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinier with your headlines. The psychedelic chemical found in magic mushrooms is being used in two new clinical trials at the University of Madison to help researchers better understand how psilocybin can be used to treat opioid and meth addictions. Studies have already shown that therapy in conjunction with psilocybin can help in curbing dependence on alcohol, tobacco, and cocaine. Oregon became the first state to legalize adult use of the drug on January 1st. The Cap Times reports the studies at UW Madison will also track whether the treatment worsens a patient's addiction. A body found in Monroe County Wednesday could be that of Felicia J. Wana, who's been missing since December 29th. The Ho-Chunk Police Department said in a statement the 50-year-old has a history of mental health concerns. The Monroe County Sheriff's Department says the death investigation is ongoing. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app or on radio streaming, thank you for tuning in. A reminder that you can listen to this show as a podcast if you miss any part of the show, if you have other things to do.
We understand.
Not just waiting for all 3 hours to listen live.
You have a life.
But you can go back and listen. So wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, or asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And we have a text.
We do. We were talking about the debt ceiling. We have hit the cliff now.
We've hit the cliff.
We've hit the cliff of the debt ceiling. Texter from
the ceiling. We've hit the ceiling.
We've hit the ceiling.
Hey, have we gone over the cliff?
No, I don't know. We're at the ceiling.
What metaphor are we using?
Texter from the 608 says, here's something to cut the loophole that Ron Johnson put in for small business, which gave hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks to Hendricks and Eline, obviously small business owners, and Ron Johnson. Small. And now the GOP flat tax scheme will give these business owners an even bigger tax break. He also says if the GOP wants to slow down spending, then have that debate with the budget debate, not with debt ceiling to pay bills we have already spent.
What do you think the comparison, this just popped in my head. It would be interesting to see, you know, maybe the top Fortune 1000, so top companies, and what they spend on in taxes versus what they spend in lobbying bills and, and campaign donations. Yeah,
no comparison.
What the difference would end up looking like in a bar graph.
That's like asking how much they spend on lobbyists compared to how much they spend on research and development.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even close.
I mean, it's probably not, but it would be interesting to see how much are they spending in order to not have to spend it in taxes?
Yeah.
Basically is what it comes down to. Right. But they're still, either way, they're spending money. And what would that compare if they were paying a reasonable amount of taxes? I don't know. So if someone's ever done this research, that's like a fascinating question to me that I've never thought about before. But you can let us know if you know the answer to that. 844-967-2789. And this is my next question. And I want to approach this topic without judgment, because I am not someone who carries a gun around with them. Mike is a gun owner, which is fine. I don't touch them. They are locked away. But I am not someone, can I see myself ever being someone who has a gun on my person or in my carry-on bag.
Right.
So I guess my question is, if you are one of those people, do you just forget that you have it?
Because it's just part of your everyday, I put on my belt and I put on my holster.
Yeah, because the interesting, our mutual friend Sherwin Hughes, I heard him talking about this on his show one day when he was saying, you know, he used to be someone who always carried.
Really?
No longer is like that. But, you know, and he was kind of talking about it in the context of it made him feel safe. It made him feel like at any moment, if something were to go wrong, like no one's going to screw with me.
He was ready.
And because I think if you're someone who does that, who feels safer having a gun on your person, do you forget that it's there? Because this is not an isolated instance that has happened to the Waukesha's. Waukesha's police chief was taken into questioning after bringing a loaded handgun to Mitchell Airport. And this happened with Derek Van Orden when he was a candidate. It happened with Madison Cawthorn. And so I don't, you know, it's like, do you just forget? Because that's basically what he said. So it was a Tuesday afternoon. Chief Dan Thompson was taken into questioning by Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office after a loaded handgun was found in his carry-on bag at Mitchell Airport. I don't know where he's going. And so he was escorted to a substation and was questioned. And basically he said the gun was only in his bag because he had forgotten he placed it in there when he was going through TSA. And it just feels like it's one thing if you forget you have a water bottle in your bag and then it goes through there. It's another thing to be like, oh, I forgot my gun was in there.
Right. It's.
And I guess if you're a police chief, that's what I mean. Like, he's used to having a gun on him. And so does it become it becomes so normal that you forget, oh, yeah, there's places where I'm not allowed to bring this.
I don't understand that. I genuinely don't. I mean, granted, I haven't flown for a few years, but I'm hyper conscientious about everything on my body when I'm going through TSA, including nail clippers. And did I put it in the right place? And do I have a lighter on me? And am I supposed to? What about matches and all those things? I can't imagine forgetting, much less not just a gun, but leaving it loaded in your carry-on. Is that standard gun owner procedure?
And I'm also interested of like, what kind of bag was it? Like, was it like a very organized, like there's a case, like was it in a case or was it just like loose with like a bunch of cash in a duffel bag? I'm sure. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I'm genuinely curious for people who are very accustomed to having a gun on them, if this is just something that it's like, you can totally see how it would slip someone's mind versus for someone like Jade and I being like, how do you forget that?
Well, and as you said, certainly there are people who carry every day. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law both have concealed carry licenses.
And they carry every day?
I believe so.
Is it your sister or sister-in-law?
Sister and brother-in-law.
Does she have a pink gun?
I don't know. And I don't care.
I love that there's an entire, in the same way that there's like the female M&Ms.
Yeah.
That there's an entire part of the gun industry that is like guns for women.
Girl guns.
Like, some of them are like pink.
Girl guns. I should probably text my sister and ask her, you know, have you ever forgotten that you had it on you? Have, again, 844-967-2789. If you carry regularly, and there's no judgment about that.
No.
But have you forgotten that you had it on you, especially when you're going to the airport to go through TSA screening?
And then what do they do? Do you have to, like, are you going to miss your flight? Because you obviously are never, you're not getting on there with the gun. And if you cut it too close, are you just, you have to leave your gun, like, throw it away?
I would.
Like with all the water bottles?
Well, yeah. He's a law enforcement officer. For some reason, and this is pure speculation, I'm assuming he got it back.
I'm assuming he got, but he can't get on the plane with it. And so what does he do? I mean, and basically what he, I think the ordinance violation comes with a fine of $767, which is not nothing, but.
It's not enough.
All right. Well, moving on to other headlines that caught my eye. The U.S. Senate is announcing a date soon for, they announced a date for the hearing on the Ticketmaster Taylor Swift controversy.
Ooh, the debacle.
I remember when this would happen while I was on my honeymoon. And if you can't remember, if things about Taylor Swift kind of go over your head or by you because you don't care, the Taylor Swift, who hasn't been on tour in a very long time, she had released her Midnights album, and then shortly after that was going to go announce that she was going on tour. So she had, for the first time, I think, had an exclusive deal with Ticketmaster on selling tickets for the concert. And even before it was open to the general public and was just open to like her fans, the system totally failed.
Crashed.
And I don't know who's more aggressive, Taylor Swift fans or Beyonce fans, both very aggressive. And thus this is this monopoly that basically Ticketmaster, Live Nation have on not only the ticket, like the ticketing for concerts, but also like owning venues.
Yeah.
And, you know, the joke being you think that there's a markup of what the price says when you buy an airline ticket and then what you end up paying because of all the little
extra fees,
extra things. Try buying a concert ticket.
It's shocking.
And so they're finally, so this is Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota and Mike Lee, interestingly
enough. From Utah.
They're the chairwoman and the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Competition Policy, Antitrust, and Consumer Rights. And they announced that the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to hold a hearing at 10 a.m. on January 24th, so next week, to examine the lack of competition in the ticketing industry.
Wow.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing, definitely. Monopolies are bad.
Monopolies are bad, yes.
For everybody.
They are bad for everybody.
Except for the monopoly.
Yes. Duopolies are bad. Because it's like, I mean, this is, people never, the amount of companies that were raising prices in the last year and blaming inflation, but also recording record profits, was like, well, are you really cutting costs? Because the thing is, I mean, it's pretty basic, right? It's like, if you need to compete with other companies, it forces you to have competitive prices.
Yes.
But if you don't have to compete with anyone, you can charge whatever you want.
Oh, it's good to be king.
So the hearing will be titled, That's the Ticket, Promoting Competition and Protecting Consumers in Live Entertainment. So I don't know if this will lead to anything, but...
It's a start.
And it's interesting that it took a meltdown of young women and gay men. Just because I've never been happy. I have nothing against Taylor Swift. I like some of her songs. I would never consider myself a Swiftie, but I was never happier to not be a mega fan and not have this impact my life. Apparently how it impacted so many people's lives, of the meltdowns, the crying TikToks that, and of people who couldn't get their Taylor Swift ticket. So if this if that's what it took to get the attention from Congress, great.
Let this be a warning, Congress. Swifties never forget.
And then we'll see if we can squeeze one or two more in. But I just... Florida?
Yes. Governor? I'm sorry.
Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, you just said Florida. It makes me laugh. Go ahead.
Has rejected a College Board request to approve an African American studies course in the state on the grounds that the course violates state law. That law being the Stop Woke Act. And so it's an AP, so an advanced placement. So it's one of those classes where you can get college credit depending on how you perform in it. But there was a pilot program of it that was launched. But reportedly, it has been rejected by DeSantis's administration in a letter to the College Board from Florida Department of Education's Office of Articulation. So basically, it said, as presented, the content of this course is inexplicably contrary to Florida law and significantly lacks educational value.
So basically, they just don't want to teach history in Florida anymore.
Yeah, from that lens, through that lens of, you know, African-American experience, I guess.
Right.
So, but I think, isn't the Stop Woke Act, isn't that having its own legal fight right now? Because they're how you define woke. Like, I feel like there was something also happening where the legality of that law is in question as well. And now I'm trying to click on something and I'm hitting a paywall. And so I will try to figure that out. But
August of 2022, a group of higher ed students and educators filed a lawsuit against the Stop Woke Act.
How would you define woke?
Being cognizant that every human being is flawed and mistakes were made in the past. Is that terrible?
No, that's a generous definition, but it's, to me, it's just every time it's so cringy to me every time a conservative uses woke, because I feel like the origin of that word was very different than what it is, the umbrella term it's now being used as. But and then finally, kind of sad, I'll just squeeze this in before we have to go to break, but New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced yesterday that she's stepping down to make room for a new Labour prime minister. And her last day will be February 7th. And she basically just said, I don't have enough in the tank to keep going.
And she's really young.
She's only a couple years older than me. And she's a mom.
Yep.
But she was New Zealand's youngest female prime minister for 6 years. And she was often commended for her compassionate handling of the mass shooting that happened in...
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they...
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 37 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows level off around 26. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 30. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. I want to be in the headlines.
Anything to be in the headlines. Summer chance.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. And here is a reminder. Multiple reminders a day until next Thursday.
A week from today.
Mark your calendars, 9 a.m. Thursday, January 26th. We want to give you free ad space. If you are a Wisconsin business who thinks they would benefit from radio ads, or if you're curious of how radio ads could benefit you, here is an opportunity to do that with no cost to you, because we are doing $1 million ad giveaway. And so what you need to do is mark your calendar and a reminder for yourself that at 9 a.m., at civicmedia.us/million, you will go there. They'll fill out an application. That's a couple questions. And then from there, you will work with one of our sales reps to work on the copy and recording and what you want to go in your ad. And that's it. And so it's a great opportunity. It's certainly in the mission of, I think, community radio.
Definitely.
And trying to lift up Small businesses across all the different cities that we play in for the Civic Media Network. But the only thing you have to remember is when you go fill it out on Thursday, January 26th at civicmedia.us/million, they're going to ask you who sent you. And you better say Jane and Kristen on As Goes Wisconsin.
We would really appreciate it.
We would really appreciate it because...
It's just a little friendly in-house competition.
We like winning. I think there's nothing wrong with that. So you can also, even if you don't trust yourself to remember that, if you go to civicmedia.us/million today, you can fill out a little thing so you can email to remind you and also add it to your calendar. We're trying to make it as easy as possible.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So, Jane, if you ever thought that the radio thing wasn't going to work out, Netflix is hiring a flight attendant for one of its private jets, and it pays a pretty penny.
Let me make sure I understand this. The company Netflix. So this is, they're like an executive private jet for the Netflix executives?
Probably.
They need a flight attendant for their private jet.
They need a dream crew.
A dream crew.
Netflix is looking for a new flight attendant to join its dream crew.
Oh.
And it's willing to pay. This is a jackpot for anyone who is a flight attendant. Over $250,000 for the right candidate.
Wow.
I don't know how much flight attendants make on like United or Southwest. I'm guessing it's not up to $385,000.
I think that's a fair guess. Do we know what I have to deliver in exchange for that $380,000?
All right, let's look at the job listing. So this is literally jobs.netflix.com. Flight attendant, San Jose, California. Do you have a passion for aviation and a desire to work within a dream crew?
Yes.
The Netflix Aviation Department, provides exceptional, safe, confidential air transportation. It is our goal to provide the most outstanding aviation experience available by using the best people and the best equipment and providing the highest level of customer service possible. The aviation team helps Netflix reach the world more efficiently and effectively so the company can continue to create joy around the world. So that is the description of the thing in general. So then the role. As a Netflix flight attendant, you are expected to embrace our culture, which places a strong emphasis on operating with freedom and responsibility. For some reason, those are capitalized. With independence and a lot of self-motivation. This is a lead position for a Northern California-based flight attendant, and the right candidate will be professionally trained in cabin and passenger safety and aircraft emergency evacuation. As you travel, you embrace the Netflix culture of freedom and responsibility, still capitalized, allowing you to operate with little direction and a lot of self-motivation. Isn't that repetitive? Didn't they just say that?
Yes.
All right. You also demonstrate the independent judgment, discretion, and outstanding customer service skills necessary to provide a seamless experience to our passengers. I feel like I can do with all of that so far.
It really doesn't say anything, except for I need to know the safety procedures and how to take care of people safely.
All right. Responsibilities and requirements. We get a little, there's a little more
detail. A little more into it. Okay.
So the flight attendant will be the primary flight attendant on the super mid-sized jet. Demonstration of professional representation. Responsible for ensuring. This is like kind of fluffy. I'm trying to say it's like, what is the actual
job?
Flight safety, FAA certified training, flexibility.
How many hours?
Or
is that dependent upon which executives need to fly that week?
I don't know. It doesn't say how many hours. It does say flexible. But this goes back to the thing. Was it this week that we talked about? Or last week we talked about the ridiculous range? So at Netflix, we carefully consider a wide range of compensation factors to determine your personal top of market. We rely on market indicators to determine compensation and consider your specific job family, background, skills, and experience to get it right. These considerations can cause your compensation to vary and will also be dependent on your location. The overall market range for this role is typically $60,000 to $385,000. That's more than pilots make, isn't it?
$380,000, I would
think. How much do you think the pilots are making on these in these private jets for Netflix?
You'd hope $200,000 a year.
It's so interesting.
Haven't Netflix executive heard of Zoom? They can't do meetings over Zoom like the rest of the world.
Well, I imagine, I think there's a little bit of difference, especially depending on who the executives are and what they're, because if they want to be on set sometimes, makes a little bit more sense of traveling to wherever the film is being recorded.
Then fly commercial.
You're so angry about this. I mean,
maybe it's just because I feel badly, because I'm sure they would not consider a chubby 63-year-old gray-haired woman as a potential part of their flight dream.
I also love you dearly, but I think you'd hate this job.
Oh, there's no question.
Like, you would not, despite, no matter how much they paid you, the eye rolls that I'm sure you would give people, and their snootiness and their entitlement, you wouldn't last a week. I'm sorry.
You mean like saying something like, God, you have all that money and that you bought those shoes? Okay.
Those ugly shoes cost how much?
Wow.
All right. Well, the if you feel like this fits your skill set,
go for it.
The job recommendation is the job is open. You can move to San Jose. It's a lot warmer than it is here. But so with that, we will round out our headline portion of today's show. We're gonna take a break for the top of the hour news. But when we come back, Dr. Andre Sousa is going to be here because over at UW-Madison, they're doing some studies on the difference between our brains compared to primates. There's probably more similarities than you think, but very important distinctions. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Just don't spit on me.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.